So, I want you to picture the year 2001. If you wanted to pull off the ultimate heist,
Yeah.
you're probably picturing like Danny Ocean,
Oh,
right?
yeah. Tailored tuxedos, a massive crew of specialists.
Exactly. You needed 11 highly trained people, explosives, an EMP device, and just months of agonizingly precise planning to steal $160 million.
Right. The classic Hollywood ideal of a sophisticated crime.
Yeah, but now I want you to contrast that romantic fiction with reality. Specifically, February 2025, the Bybit cryptocurrency hack.
Completely different universe.
Totally. There were no vault drills, no getaway cars, no hostages, just someone, probably sitting on a couch in sweatpants typing a few lines of code.
Yeah.
And in a matter of minutes, they stole $1.5 billion. I mean, that's 10 times what Danny Ocean took without firing a single bullet.
Which completely changes the psychology of the criminal. You don't need adrenaline anymore. You don't need a crew or like physical courage. You basically just need patience, a laptop, and a profound understanding of network vulnerabilities. It is a complete paradigm shift.
And that shift is exactly our mission for this deep dive today. We are exploring a shadow economy moving tens of billions of dollars globally.
Yeah, it's staggering.
We're unpacking the terrifying evolution of modern theft, where artificial intelligence and digital exploits have just totally replaced the ski mask.
And to really understand why this shift is happening, we have to look at the cold, hard math of risk. I mean, traditional theft has always had massive built-in limitations.
Oh, for sure. The statistics on physical bank robbery are actually almost comical compared to what's happening digitally.
They really are. Think about the physical constraints. If someone robs a brick-and-mortar bank today, the average take is around, what, $7,500?
Barely enough to buy a used car.
Exactly. And the probability of being arrested is a massive 85%. Yeah. And if you are caught, the average sentence is 15 years in a federal penitentiary. Plus, there is a really high risk of physical harm during the robbery itself.
So 15 years for 7.5 grand, that is just a completely irrational return on investment.
It's a terrible business model. But then you look at the modern crypto hack. The average loot jumps to $15 million per incident.
15 million, just on average.
On average. And the probability of arrest plummets to just 15%. And the physical risk, non-existent.
Right, because they aren't even in the building.
Exactly. The thief could be operating from a cafe in a country that doesn't even have an extradition treaty with the place they're robbing.
It really makes historical physical heists look like pocket change. I mean, you look at the famous 1990 Gardner Museum heist, right? That was $500 million in art.
All right.
Or the 2003 Antwerp Diamond heist, which was $100 million. Those were literally called the crimes of the century. But in 2025 alone, total cryptocurrency hacks hit $3.4 billion.
Yeah, it's an entirely different scale.
And that Bybit hack, the $1.5 billion one, that targeted what are called cold wallets, right?
Yeah, which is fascinating. So, for anyone unfamiliar, a cold wallet is essentially a highly encrypted digital vault that is physically disconnected from the internet.
Like a glorified USB drive?
Basically, yeah, it's kept in a secure physical location. And cryptocurrency exchanges usually keep 90% or more of their assets in cold storage for exactly this reason.
Because if it's not online, you supposedly can't hack it.
That was the theory.
But they did hack it, which kind of begs the question, right?
Yeah.
How do you steal from a computer that isn't plugged into the network?
Well, it turns out even offline storage isn't invincible because eventually a human being has to interact with it.
Oh, right.
To move funds, someone has to authorize a transaction using private keys, which is essentially a ridiculously long, complex password.
So the hackers didn't break the encryption on the cold wallet itself.
No, they didn't have to. They compromised the highly privileged individuals who held the backup keys, or they found a way to inject malicious code into the software the wallet uses when it briefly connects to authorize a transfer.
Wow. So the illusion of the physical vault is just completely shattered.
Totally. I mean, in a traditional heist, the vault is a real geographic location made of steel. Cash and gold are incredibly heavy.
Right. If you steal a ton of gold bars, you have to literally load them into a truck.
Yes, and hide them in a warehouse and fence them very slowly to avoid drawing attention. The logistics of the getaway are actually harder than the break-in.
Yeah, it's like comparing a thief who has to physically carry a ton of gold out the front door to a ghost who can just teleport the gold into 1,000 different dimensions at once.
That is a great way to put it.
Because once digital thieves compromise those keys, they aren't loading up a van. They use these mechanisms called crypto mixers and blockchain bridges to just vanish.
And we should probably unpack how those work, because they are basically the engine of modern money laundering.
Yeah, please do.
So think of a crypto mixer, like a giant industrial blender. The thief takes $100 million of stolen digital currency and throws it into the blender, along with the legal funds of thousands of other anonymous users.
Okay.
The mixer churns it all up, scrambles the transaction histories, and then spits out clean currency to new addresses. The value is exactly the same, but the digital serial numbers are totally untraceable.
So you can no longer prove whose money went where.
Exactly.
And then they use blockchain bridges, which is like, well, it's like walking into a shady currency exchange in a dark alley. You trade your mixed Bitcoin for Ethereum, then trade that for Monero.
Right, hopping across entirely different blockchain ecosystems in seconds.
Yeah. By the time the authorities even realize the vault is empty, the funds have been scattered across hundreds of wallets globally and just laundered completely clean.
Which is why the recovery rate is so low.
But here is the piece of this puzzle that really fascinates me. If the cryptography protecting these networks is virtually unbreakable by modern computers, how are they getting the keys in the first place?
Well, this brings us back to the human element. They target the one fatal flaw built into every security system on Earth, which is us, human beings.
We are always the weakest link.
We are, and we always will be. So, social engineering, which is just a fancy term for manipulating humans into breaking their own security protocols, that's ancient.
Right. Con artists have been doing that forever.
Exactly. But artificial intelligence has taken social engineering and supercharged it. It's basically become a weapon of mass deception.
Oh, absolutely. Like the January 2026 case of that Swiss entrepreneur is a perfect, chilling example of this.
Oh, that case is wild.
For those who haven't heard, this executive transfers millions of francs after having a series of phone calls with someone he completely believed was his trusted business partner.
Yeah, he had no idea.
And the voice was perfectly natural. The tone was right. They discussed the market. They even referenced private details about an upcoming merger.
But the business partner was never on the line.
Yep.
Every single syllable of those conversations was generated in real time by an artificial intelligence.
Right. Using voice cloning technology. Tools like 11 Labs or Resemble AI. And the scary part is they only need a few minutes of audio to pull this off.
Barely in that sometimes.
Yeah. They can scrape a podcast you guessed it on, a public YouTube video, or even just record a spam call where they keep you talking for 60 seconds.
And in less than an hour, they own a flawless digital replica of your voice.
It's terrifying. And this is driving a massive spike in what cybersecurity firms call business email compromise or CEO fraud.
Right, because previously a criminal would send a phishing email from a fake address pretending to be the CEO demanding a wire transfer.
But an observant employee could usually spot the typos or weird formatting.
Exactly. But today, the attackers use AI to simulate the CEO's voice on a live phone call, or even create a deepfake video for a Zoom meeting.
Okay, hold on. I have to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure, go for it.
If I'm an employee handling millions of dollars, and I get an unexpected call from my boss demanding this massive, urgent wire transfer to a new account, I'm going to be skeptical.
You'd think so, yeah.
Right. I'm going to listen closely to see if he sounds like a robot, or I'll just hang up and call his actual cell phone. I mean, are people just moving too fast? Or is this technology really flawless enough to fool a skeptical professional?
Honestly, it is entirely that flawless. You really cannot underestimate how advanced deep learning algorithms have become.
Really?
Yeah. They don't just mimic the pitch and timbre of a voice anymore. The AI models actually analyze and replicate the person's breathing rhythms, their micro hesitations.
Oh, wow.
They even capture the specific way someone emphasizes consonants when they're stressed out. It is not a robotic text-to-speech engine.
That is insane.
And crucially, it's not just the audio, right? It's the context. The attackers gather intelligence from LinkedIn and corporate emails to weave a highly believable narrative.
So saying things like, we're closing a secret acquisition in Dubai. The regulators are breathing down my neck.
Exactly. And if you don't wire this in 5 minutes, the whole deal collapses. When you combine flawless sensory input with extreme manufactured urgency, it just completely short-circuits human intuition. Yeah. Our nervous systems are literally biologically hardwired to trust the familiar voice of an authority figure.
So it's not hacking a server at all. It's hacking the human fight-or-flight response.
Exactly.
And the metrics prove it is devastatingly effective. I mean, looking at the sources, the average loss for one of these AI-enhanced attacks now exceeds $4.1 million.
And the success rate leaps to 33%.
One in three attempts succeeds.
Yeah. Compare that to the 10% success rate of a traditional bank robbery.
That is wildly profitable. No wonder by the first half of 2026, deepfake-related financial losses alone hit $3.7 billion.
And what makes that $3.7 billion so alarming is just how accessible these tools have become. We are basically living through the rise of fraud as a service.
Fraud as a service, like a software subscription.
Exactly. You no longer need to be a coding genius or a machine learning engineer to do this. On the dark web, you can just subscribe to AI exploitation platforms for a few $100s a month.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The developers of these malicious AI tools just rent them out to lower-level criminals. They provide customer support, user-friendly dashboards.
Wow. They have customer support.
They do. It has completely democratized high-level theft for anyone with an internet connection.
Which means we are no longer just dealing with lone hackers in a basement, you know, drinking energy drinks. When you combine a 33% success rate with multi-million dollar payouts, you get the inevitable industrialization of theft.
Yes, we are seeing massive, highly organized, state-sponsored entities dominating this space now.
Right, like the Lazarus Group.
The Lazarus Group is a prime example. They are a state-sponsored cybercrime syndicate backed by the North Korean government.
And they don't operate like a ragtag criminal crew at all.
No, they function like a Silicon Valley tech giant.
Yep.
Or a Fortune 500 corporation.
Yeah.
They have a massive government budget, a rigid corporate hierarchy. They literally have HR departments, recruiting talent, and highly specialized teams.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. One team writes the malware, another team handles the social engineering, and a completely separate financial division focuses solely on laundering the stolen crypto.
That is deeply unsettling. And their efficiency is terrifying. Just looking at April 2026, over a span of only 17 days, the Lazarus Group stole $609 million across multiple platforms.
Right.
That averages out to about $35 million stolen every single day.
And in 2025 as a whole, they pulled in over $1.2 billion.
And according to the analysis, the stolen crypto is heavily funding North Korea's ballistic missile and nuclear weapons programs. So this is a major geopolitical funding mechanism, not just some digital heist.
Exactly. And their infiltration methods go far beyond just tricking someone on the phone. They are notorious for what are called supply chain attacks.
Okay, let's break that down for the listener, because a supply chain attack basically affects the software everyone uses daily, right?
Exactly. So instead of trying to hack into a highly secure bank directly, Lazarus targets the smaller, less secure companies that provide software to that bank.
Oh, I see.
Right. So they might infiltrate the company that makes the PDF reader or the network monitoring tool the bank uses. They quietly insert a tiny back door into the software's code.
So when the software company pushes out a routine update,
the bank downloads it, completely trusting the source. And suddenly the hackers are inside the bank's network. They literally walk right through the front door disguised as a normal software update.
So when you click update on a trusted app, you could unknowingly be installing state-sponsored malware.
Yeah.
And honestly, it gets even more dystopian because the industrialization of theft isn't stopping with human-led teams. By 2026, researchers started tracking the first automated AI hacking agents,
which is a major, major escalation. We aren't talking about AI being used as a tool by a human to clone a voice anymore. We are talking about autonomous software.
Robotic armies of hackers.
Exactly. They scan smart contracts on blockchains 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And for those who might not know, a smart contract is basically self-executing code on a blockchain. Think of it like a digital vending machine, right?
Right.
You put a digital coin in, and the code automatically dispenses a digital asset. There's no bank or human lawyer needing to oversee it, but billions of dollars are locked inside these digital vending machines.
And these autonomous AI agents are relentlessly shaking every single vending machine in the world simultaneously, looking for a loose screw.
Wow.
They use advanced pattern recognition to identify obscure security bugs in the code that human auditors just missed.
So once the AI finds a flaw, what happens?
It automatically writes a custom exploit, executes the attack, drains the funds, and sends the money through those crypto mixers we talked about earlier, all in a matter of seconds. entirely without human intervention.
It's literally a machine designed to rob other machines while we sleep.
Exactly.
But, you know, this brings up a massive structural question.
Okay.
If these hacker armies, whether it's North Korea or just autonomous bots running on cloud servers, if they are stealing billions of dollars globally, why aren't they being caught? You mentioned earlier the blockchain is a public ledger. Every transaction is theoretically visible. So why is the arrest rate basically zero?
It really comes down to geopolitical reality overriding technological tracing. Yes, the public ledger is visible, but the identity attached to the digital wallet is totally anonymous.
Right.
When elite hackers steal funds, they route them through anonymization networks like Tor or virtual private networks that mask their physical location.
And then they bounce the funds through mixers.
Right. Law enforcement can sometimes follow the breadcrumbs, sure, but by the time they pinpoint the location, the trail usually ends in a jurisdiction like North Korea, Russia, or Iran.
And state-sponsored hackers operate with absolute judicial immunity within those borders.
Exactly. Interpol cannot simply fly to Pyongyang and arrest the Lazarus Group. Unless these hackers make the very stupid mistake of traveling to a country with an extradition treaty, they are untouchable.
So Danny Ocean today wouldn't be worried about a SWAT team bursting through the ceiling.
Yep.
He'd just be sipping an espresso in a non-extradition country, watching his AI agent do all the heavy lifting.
Basically.
The motivation, you know, money and power. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Just the physics of the crime.
Right.
But as incredible as AI-driven theft is, the source material actually points to an even more existential threat looming on the horizon. The scenario that experts refer to as the ticking clock.
Yes.
We really need to talk about the quantum threat.
We do, because this takes our focus away from the vulnerabilities of human psychology and points it squarely at the raw mathematics of cryptography itself.
Right.
And it is the most massive looming issue for the future of all digital security, not just cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so in March 2026, Google's quantum AI team published a paper that just sent shockwaves through the tech world.
Huge shockwaves.
They estimated that a quantum computer utilizing 500,000 qubits could break Bitcoin's 256-bit encryption. And it wouldn't take years of guessing. It would take just 9 minutes.
Which is mind-blowing. And to contextualize why that is so devastating, we have to understand the difference between traditional computing and quantum computing.
Okay, lay it out for us.
So a traditional supercomputer uses bits, which are like a coin sitting flat on a table. It's either heads or tails. A one or a zero.
Right.
It solves complex encryption by guessing every possible combination one by one. To crack the 256-bit encryption protecting Bitcoin, a traditional supercomputer would have to guess for thousands of years.
Okay, but a quantum computer?
A quantum computer uses qubits. Thanks to quantum physics, a qubit is like a coin spinning in the air. It can represent a one, a zero, or both simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
This allows the quantum computer to process vast amounts of possibilities at the exact same time. Hence, 9 minutes to unravel the math that secures hundreds of billions of dollars.
And this is expected to become a real, tangible threat to public blockchains between 2028 and 2033.
Exactly.
But the truly fascinating part is what attackers are doing right now to prepare for it. It's this strategy known as Harvest Now, Decrypt Later.
Yeah, this is brilliant and terrifying. Because blockchains are public, permanent ledgers, every public key is visible forever.
Right. You can't just quietly change the locks on a blockchain the way a bank can update its centralized servers.
No, you can't. So attackers are currently scraping and downloading massively valuable encrypted data communications, private keys, government secrets, and just storing them on huge hard drives.
It's like a thief stealing an unbreakable titanium safe today and just keeping it in their garage. They don't have the tools to open it now, but they know someone is going to invent a futuristic plasma cutter a decade from now.
That is exactly what it's like. And they are more than willing to wait 10 years for that plasma cutter to be invented because the payout inside the safe is worth billions.
Wow.
The data is completely secure today, but they are patiently betting on the quantum zero day. That inevitable moment that quantum computer gets plugged in and the encryption just shatters.
So, man, what does this all mean for you, the listener? I mean, how do you actually defend yourself in a world where AI can clone your boss's voice flawlessly, and future quantum computers are just waiting to shred modern cryptography?
It's a lot to process. But defensive strategies are crucial because as an individual, you are the first line of defense.
Right.
The single most effective step you can take right now to harden your personal security is multi-factor authentication, or MFA.
But, and this is important, Not all MFA is created equal, right?
That's very true.
Using SMS text messages to get your security code is actually highly vulnerable to something called SIM swapping.
Right.
That's where an attacker calls your mobile phone provider, pretends to be you, and convinces the telecom rep to port your phone number over to a SIM card they control.
And suddenly they're receiving your security text.
Exactly. So you need to use authenticator apps or physical hardware security keys instead.
Yeah, and the statistics back that up. Accounts utilizing robust non-SMS multi-factor authentication are 99.9% less likely to be successfully compromised.
99.9, that's massive.
It is. It just adds a layer of frictional complexity that automated bots and remote attackers really struggle to bypass at scale.
And for protecting digital assets like cryptocurrency, the mandate is hardware wallets, taking your private keys entirely offline.
Yep.
The sources mention that the most secure individuals are actually engraving their cryptographic seed phrases, basically the master passwords to their wallets, onto physical titanium metal plates to make them fireproof and floodproof.
And then storing them in physical bank vaults.
There is a deep, deep irony there.
Isn't there?
To protect the decentralized digital money of the future, crypto enthusiasts are literally carving passwords into metal and burying them in the very physical bank vaults they thought they'd made obsolete.
It is remarkably circular. But physical isolation, you know, an air gap between your keys and the internet, it remains a highly powerful defense against a purely digital adversary.
And on a systemic level, the defense is also mobilizing, right? AI isn't solely a weapon for attackers.
No, not at all. Major banks and cybersecurity firms are deploying massive defensive AI systems. They analyze millions of global transactions a second, looking for microscopic anomalies that indicate fraud.
I know that's good.
Yeah, they are training models specifically to detect the digital artifacts left behind by deepfake audio, too.
And what about the quantum threat?
Well, regarding that, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, actually finalized and published post-quantum cryptography standards back in 2024.
Okay, so the defensive mathematical architecture exists.
It exists. The core challenge is logistical. Migrating massive, decentralized global networks to entirely new cryptographic standards requires years of consensus and coordination.
Right.
It is a literal race against the ticking clock.
It really is. So let's synthesize this. The core lesson from Ocean's 11, despite the breathtaking technological leaps we've talked about, it actually remains completely true today. Money and power will always drive the crime. And no matter how impenetrable the encryption math is, or how isolated the hardware vault is, the weakest link in the chain is always human.
Because systems rarely fail because the underlying mathematics broke. They fail because a human being was tricked by a voice, pressured by false urgency, or bypassed through a clever supply chain backdoor.
Which means you have to adapt your personal operational security. Use hardware wallets, utilize authenticator apps instead of passwords, and really just cultivate a healthy instinctual skepticism of any urgent financial request.
Even if it sounds exactly flawlessly like someone you trust.
Exactly. The battle between attackers and defenders is eternal. The nature of the heist hasn't changed, really. Only the tools.
Well said.
But I want to leave you, the listener, with one final deeply provocative thought to mull over, drawn from the cutting edge of this arms race.
Oh, this part is fascinating.
We just discussed how institutions are rushing to build massive AI defense systems to protect our digital vaults, right?
Right.
But there is a vulnerability mentioned in the analysis called model poisoning. And this is when highly sophisticated attackers slowly, patiently, and invisibly manipulate the raw data that an AI uses to learn and train itself.
It is an incredibly insidious vector. You aren't breaking into the system at all. You are subtly teaching the system to ignore your specific type of intrusion.
Right. So consider this scenario. We are all rushing to put these massive AI guard dogs in front of our most valuable digital vaults.
Yeah.
But if hackers can secretly poison that training data over months or years, what happens if the digital guard dog we completely rely on has secretly been trained from the ground up to look the other way when the wolves arrive?
It's a chilling thought.
We might not even realize the vault is empty until the guard dog opens the door itself.
Makes Danny Ocean knocking out a casino guard seem a whole lot less scary, doesn't it?